Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Little Stevie Dan bringing us back there. It's 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I am the Small Business Advocate, the one and only. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my new book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Bert Folsom, Dr. Bert Folsom, is our guest. Burton W. Folsom is the name on the book, New Deal or Raw Deal. And along with his name and Anita Folsom's name on their newer book, FDR Goes to War. You got to have these. These are bookends, folks. They're a complete set on what you need to know about the history of a progressivism and the impact that it's had on this country, right, Bert?
That's right. And Roosevelt is really the beginning of the big growth of government in the United States. How it happened, the impact of it, and right. How it got perpetuated. It's very important for us to understand.
And one of those things was Ex-Im Bank. Export-Import
yes.
Bank that Mr. Roosevelt started, and we talked about that in the previous segment about what the charter is. But one of the things that I've been doing on this show for a long time now, Bert, is trying to encourage small business owners to look into trade opportunities, primarily exporting. I don't care. I really don't care export-import, but primarily exporting, because as you know, exporting is good for exporting is better for our economy than importing is. But both of them are good. And so what I've been doing is I've been making sure that they knew all about the Commercial Services Division of the Department of Commerce, who will help you find prospects. They'll literally link you up by video conference. If you can't go to Guatemala or Spain or Vietnam, they'll link you up by video conference with prospects. They'll help you find prospects in those countries. But then you have to go about the transaction. You have to go about the business. You have to make sure you get paid, because small business owners don't have a lot of cash. Their cash flow is rough, is
right.
Pretty tight. So this is where Ex-Im Bank has come in to help smooth out the rough edges between the different banking systems in the two countries. So from a small business standpoint, Ex-Im Bank has made can make a good contribution in a way that I'm not sure anybody else can. And so from a small business perspective, I think Ex-Im Bank is good, but that's not the whole picture. Now you tell us the rest of the picture.
Well, that's why I was paralleling it to so many other programs that FDR did. Export-Import Bank was created as an offshoot of the Reconstruction Finance Corporation, which was an agency that just gave funding to different individuals to help companies. In Roosevelt, he used it to help fund his brother-in-law and his son and this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Ex-Im Bank becomes one specifically for businesses. And so Roosevelt immediately wanted to use it to help businesses that would be helpful to him. In other words, either help him in his foreign policy or help him in some way in his domestic policy. So Ex-Im Bank becomes a way to help political contributors. We see this today with Boeing. I use that as an example, although Boeing plays both sides of the street. I mean, they help Republicans and Democrats and so on.
Mm-hmm.
They're a defense company, and I understand that. They have to be involved with government, but many of the people in the Obama administration, I'm thinking of David Plouffe or leading Democrats, Tom Daschle's wife, for example,
mm-hmm.
become lobbyists for Boeing. So it's an easy track to say, we want to have large amounts of cash go to Boeing. Of course, as you say, it greases the sales, but it's a taxpayer expense. That's part of the problem here, is that the taxpayers
is this a corresponding service that Boeing's European competitors have access to in their country?
Yes, it is. And see, that's
so is this fighting, could it be called fighting fire with fire?
That's what I'm sure Boeing would say.
Yeah.
I would say,
and I'm not carrying Boeing's mail. I'm just asking a question.
No, yeah. I think that's fair to say. Airbus is their main competitor.
Yeah.
And Airbus is heavily funded by the government.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the thing is, if you would look at, for example, so in other words, you're not going to be able to easily, Boeing isn't going to be easily be able to make sales in Europe with the subsidies that Airbus will be giving to various Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be in China and South America and Central America where the market would
but
be.
But they're competing with Airbus down there too, just because, right?
Yeah. But I'm saying if the taxpayers have to fund Boeing to help them make sales against Airbus,
right,
then it's the benefits are minimal, especially when you see rich lobbyists,
right,
that are connected with the Democratic Party involved in the transactions on both sides.
There's another thing that we have to keep in mind, though, Bert, and this becomes then whether this can go all the way back to whether the government should be involved at all. But when Boeing built the plant in South Carolina, it created business opportunity for 2,000 small businesses.
Right. Well, this is back to when the WPA built a major road in New York.
Yeah.
That created opportunity for 1,000 New Yorkers to work on the road, but
mm-hmm.
tax dollars were taken from all over the nation. So
right.
jobs are lost in other parts of the country to
mm-hmm.
create those 1,000. But good for those New York senators that they could capture that federal money and make other people pay for their road.
Right.
So in other words, the parallel argument would be good for Boeing. They're enabled to make those sales at the expense of American taxpayers.
But if you talk to the small business owners who do business with Boeing and their contractors, those guys would say that smells like bacon and eggs to them.
Yeah, right.
Right?
In other words, if you can get someone else to pay to smooth out your transactions, that's a good deal for you.
Right, right. But that's crony capitalism writ large and small, isn't it?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay, when we come back, we're going to decide, Bert and I, are going to make the final decision on whether Ex-Im Bank should be, their charter should be renewed. Tintail, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.